Hey everyone, it's Nick with Tabletopped, and today is another free preview of a Wild Magic. I'm going to give you a little bit more than usual, just the end of the episode where we talk about a new TTRPG I'm super interested in, and also some Patreon stuff. There's way more to this episode, and we're actually going to drop another Wild Magic this month towards the end in the usual last Friday of the month slot, but we have so much other stuff going on down there that you should probably check it out. You can get all of this and more for as little as $1 a month. All right, everyone, see you on the flip side. All right, now we are a TTRPG podcast usually, so I'm going to talk about one I found that I'm currently obsessed with. I'm really into this game. I have read the book. I haven't read the whole thing, but just the mechanics behind it look fun. It looks like not too hard to play, which is why I'm really excited to like play it at our table eventually. It's called Never Going Home. It's a World War I inspired TTRPG. Imagine World War I, except at the Battle of the Somme. The loss of human life and the despair ripped open a hole into the Empyrean, the hellish realm but beyond. So now there's like eldritch magic.
Ooh.
That like instead of being like, oh, we have a common enemy, like everyone stop World War I to fight this common enemy. They're let's use this to destroy the other people. So now there's like
a race to get the ultimate weapon.
Yeah. So now there's like
essentially, which didn't happen in real life until World War II.
But it's basically like still trench warfare, still awful, still people having to deal with actual World War I. But then there's this sort of thing where people, in order to survive World War I, are starting to kind of like make deals with this like power so that they can get through the war. And so all of your characters, when you run a game of Never Going Home, you are a unit. So your table is following the adventures of a unit in this war. Mm-hmm. These characters are going to be like cycled in and out it's like very Band of Brothers-y, where like one episode you might have a player character be killed because it's war and horrible. But then a new person from like, you know, another unit transfers in to replace them. Or like there's a fresh batch of like new recruits that come to fill out the ranks. And so then you have like veterans and new people that are all having to deal with this together. But the really cool mechanic about it is that there's both dice and cards. So the dice is like how you kind of resolve normal stuff. But the cards is how you use like the magic, where it is your memories and sort of like your humanity. And in order to get closer to like that sort of eldritch power, you have to sacrifice your memories of being like a person to get closer to wielding this power. And so you're sacrificing these cards and you're like pulling them to see the effects. And if you do too much, you basically become one of these like creatures and like leave the unit that way. It's very cool. I'm very excited to run it. The art style is very awesome. It's like that classic sort of like
color kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I also really love games that are like, there's another game set in World War I called The Grizzled. It's a board gamey kind of thing. I really enjoy the sort of like, this is probably the worst humans have really been to, you know, like in a war, like the trench warfare of it all. World War II, I think, was way worse to civilians, but World War I was really bad to be a part of.
That's the one that had mustard gas.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's like all of our rules about chemical warfare and stuff came from World War I. So it's just like a really interesting thing that I'm really excited to play. And it sort of like adds this new flair to it. Like I bought an adventure book too. It's all an indie TTRPG. You can get it on their website. I think that each of the books cost like $20 or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
To get into. Books. Yep. And but there's stuff like trench stalkers, which are essentially people who have like sort of been fully corrupted. And then they're just monsters running around the lines of
in the trenches.
In the trenches.
That's where you have to be.
Exactly.
Oh my.
And so then you're like, okay, instead of fighting this like enemy trying to take 20 feet of land or whatever, we actually have to like go along a mile of trench line to try to find where this trench stalker is like hiding and killing people so that we can like secure our own trench. It's like, oh man, it's very cool.
I appreciate that. Because it's not how I personally feel it would work.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that this horrible eldritch power comes in, and all the soldiers are like, yeah, okay, we're going to deal and utilize that.
Yeah.
But also we're going to keep fighting the war. Instead of banding together mm-hmm. and being like, I don't care that we're...
Well, this is like a huge part of it is like that all of the commanders of all of these armies are like, finally, something to turn the tide rather than yeah. let's figure this out as a common humanity.
Right. It's, I mean,
it's good commentary
I guess,
on
yeah,
on
I guess
war.
I'm optimistic. I think that we might band together.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think we would. I think, we would it would immediately become the new weapon choice to get the new weapon to use against our enemies.
Well, this is like, this is...
Because winning's more important than admitting you could ever have something in common.
Well, this is the thing about like the thematic thrust of the book as well. It's a very dark game, and I just
sounds like
it in my Edgelord era, I guess. But like going through it, all of the art, you basically never see skin on any of the soldiers. They are essentially like, sometimes you see like a hand or like an eye.
If you see it,
it's
always like scarred or something.
Yeah.
Basically, I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very much like these people are empty suits. Like they mm-hmm. are just replaceable and they all have the gas masks on. So they are not human. They are sort of these like.
They're soldiers.
They're soldiers. And mm-hmm. it is a game that tries to make you come to terms with like, this is how you are seen and how you are treated by the world around you. But there is sort of like something in the suit and that's the players, right? And so it's just very cool thematically. I think they did a great job. I'm very excited to run it. And maybe we'll do a review in the actual pod sometime.
Yeah.
Throw that up in the Questima beer.
Yeah, like, I know. I really want to. I want to try it.
Different characters.
Yeah, different characters. You're not going to survive through this, but like, and I also am really into now games. I don't know. I really like a storyline where it's not expected that the group makes it through. I just think that stakes are fun in that way, and like, I just think it's interesting. And I like a game where you can make huge choices, have huge consequences, and then you play the next round with like a new character. I just think it's just fun. I like it. I like it a lot. but yeah, that's the thing that I've been obsessed with lately. And I got into it just the art style. I like looked at it and I was like, that's fucking cool. And I started reading it and I was like, wow, this is cool. They have letters from the soldiers in
that's
the books.
That's very neat.
Oh. Yeah.
I was going to ask because like I know like art and vibe is such an important thing in TTRPGs in my mind. And it's tricky because... Not every TTRPG is going to have that beautiful art, but I felt very similarly to, it's a big part of how I got into Planescape as like a setting, because that the original and current art for Planescape stuff is just like, oh, perfect. I love watercolor feels, and that immediately reminded me of that when I looked at that. I was like, oh yeah, no, this is, I see.
This is the thing, people like... Listen up, TTRPG designers who want to put their stuff out there. People who say don't judge a book by their cover have bad covers. You need a good cover, man, because I looked at it and immediately was like, I'll look inside that book. And then I looked inside it and I was like, this is a cool book. So what got me in was the cover, and I'm ashamed of that. But man, it works. Like Dread also has a really great one. It's like this bloody thumbprint.
Dread, the game that we played recently. Yeah. I actually don't like Dredd's art at all.
Yeah.
And even slightly. It's like, I'm sorry to drag it, but.
There's another one I think that you were talking to me about, Shade, called Ink.
Yeah, Ink. Ink is.
Has a great cover.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
It has a great cover.
Yeah, or not Ink.
Or maybe it's Inked or something.
Shoot. Mm. I have it here. I'm going to just bring it up. Printweaver.
Yeah, Printweaver. But no, there's another one called Ink. And I think that you were talking to me about it a while ago. Printweaver has a crazy good cover. I bought that for my friend Mac, and I'm excited to play it either with you guys or with him.
I don't know if I was talking to you about Ink, but
really?
Yeah.
It's a cool cover. It's a very kind of cool. Like Don't Starve-y kind of art.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Don't Starve's art.
Yeah. It's kind of that like sort of Burton-esque sort of, yeah.
You know what else I want to start watching just because I've seen the art finally?
What?
Has Been Hotel.
Oh, boy. You and
that
I have
art looks
feelings.
So good.
What I don't,
and
I don't
like,
think I...
like it looks good in a way like 90s 2000s Nickelodeon shows looked, kind of like it's Invader Zim-y kind of look.
Invader Zim's a good comparison.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's all the things I hated. Like I've not seen this, but I've seen the art for it, and I had the exact opposite. I was just like, oh no, this is never.
Well,
going
well,
to be
two
for
things.
Me.
I wasn't gonna watch Has Been Hotel because I had seen it. And I was like, oh, okay. Something like dark and edgy cartoon, fine.
Yeah.
But then I realized that it has music and fun colors and animation. I was like, oh, this is going to have musical numbers. I'm going to watch this. Yeah.
You got your brain trained like I did with like Adventure Time and stuff with those musical numbers. Everyone was like, this is the fucking best. All right, everyone. This has been an episode of Wild Magic. We have stuff on the Patreon. If you're new here, go check it out. In fact, I did something super embarrassing and I dropped Pooped the Pants, the original episode.
I saw that on the train right over here, and I was like, this didn't get group approval.
Yeah, I dropped my original episode that I was working on in a class learning how to podcast. It's pretty funny. I like it a lot. And you should go check it out. It's fun. It's on the Patreon for folks who pay even as little as $1
a month. You gotta give more context.
No context. You have to sign up if you want to listen to Poop the Pants. And also, we're dropping other stuff in there.
I love that he's treating it like a reward.
Yeah, you know what? If people really love it, I'll make another episode.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Rio, have you ever pooped the pants?
No.
Okay, well, you're not on the episode.
I've pooped in bushes.
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll have like a side quest episode where we go in.
Franco, I wish you were here.
Well, this is the thing, is that Franco has a visceral negative reaction to this concept. I think it's very human, but we'll see. We'll see what the audience thinks. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode of Wild Magic. Goodbye.
Bye.